Hi everyone, and welcome to This Week on Channel 9. My name is Vlad, and this is Nisha. Is that right? No?
Yeah.
Sorry, that's not right. No.
My name is
Nikola.
Not this time.
Not this time. Next time, maybe. I'm Nikola. This is Greg.
Even though last time I was on the show, it was with Nisha, so.
Yeah, maybe people get confused. I gotta, gotta be clear about these things. So it's been a while since I've been on the show. It's been a while since you've been on the show. We've never done a show together, so this is a great opportunity to do that. That's great, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So what have you been up to since last time you were on the show, Greg?
Still working. I'm here in sunny Los Angeles. It's going to be like 90 degrees this weekend, so we'll definitely be enjoying the weather.
Cool. It's been nice here, too. We have about 75 degrees, so it's been awesome in Seattle, too.
That's not that bad, actually, up
it's
there.
It's amazing. I actually had my windows down in my car. I never do that.
Gearing up for Build, that's the big thing. I can't wait for Build. You know, we're about, month and a half, month and a week away. So that's looking exciting.
There's a lot of work still to be done, but it's going to be super exciting once we get all those demos and all those announcements out of the way. It's going to be amazing. Yes.
So, speaking of conferences, last week, Nisha and Robert, they talked about GDC 2015 and some of the announcements that we made. But I wanted to get your feedback on, from your point of view, about GDC and the announcements and all the Xbox applications stuff. What did you think about it and the announcements?
So this is a great opportunity. I watched the show that Nisha and they did last week. But I wanted to just touch on a few of the things that I thought that were most important of this announcement that I'm really passionate about. And that is all about the Universal Lab platform that we're doing. So that was one of the first times we actually saw the Universal Lab platform and how things will work across many of the devices that Windows 10 will run on. So that was huge. And then we also announced something that was even bigger that game developers have been asking for a long time, which was Xbox Live across platform. And in January, we talked about how we're going to have cross-platform development, cross-platform game playback, and all this cool stuff for game players. But developers can use Xbox Live across all the platforms, and we'll have that available for everybody eventually. In the future.
That's right. The SDK was released to preview people, and that's going to grow slower over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to start being able to use all the cool things that we have in Xbox today, which is achievements, being able to do the game matching, all the cool stuff that game developers had the luxury of using on Xbox One or Xbox 360. So that's going to come across everything.
Oh, that's awesome. So instead of everybody inventing their own achievements and their own stuff, their Windows 10 notebook, the phone, the Xbox, they'll all be able to use the same API and the same stuff. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is going to be one source code. You don't have to write your own whole systems. You don't have to use your own web services to do all this stuff that you've done before. You don't have to invent your own achievement system like many developers have been doing. This is great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And there's actually a lot more announcements that we can go into. It was just a great event, a great full week of announcements. We did DirectX 12. We talked about the performance gains you get from that. We talked about the store, all the cool stuff that are coming with the Universal Store, where you can actually have unified development centers. You don't have to go to different portals to submit your application to different platforms. You go through one single endpoint. It's amazing. It's great to be alive, I'm telling you.
So, not to put you on the spot, but voice activation. If I'm on the Xbox and I got the Kinect, I would assume that we could write a universal app that uses the Kinect voice. If we're on a desktop or a phone, would that use like the Cortana voice or would that work?
I don't think we're there yet to actually see how that's going to work. I think we're going to have a lot more announcements around this, around Build. I think it's going to be exciting to see how a lot of these things actually come out and how developers will be able to do this at that time. And it's going to be really exciting to see a lot of these cool demos that we're building. And so definitely tune in for the keynotes and tune in for all the sessions we're going to do in Build. You're going to learn a lot more about these things.
That's right. And if you're not going, it'll all be streamed for free, or the sessions will be available 24 to 48 hours afterwards here on Channel 9. So.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Windows 10, Gabe All, how do you pronounce his last name?
Gabe All. I think that's how you say it, yeah.
Okay, as in all.
As in all, okay. You all. Sorry, Gabe.
Yeah, really. Well, we're just developers here on the show, just geeks being geeks. Did this new post. you know, when the Windows 10 technical preview was released in January, everybody was thinking that there's going to be an update every month or so. And at the end of February, there wasn't a release. So people would start asking, what's the deal? What's the status? Where are we going? Gabal did a really nice blog post here about that. Where are we at? What we're doing good, what's not necessarily good, and what they're going to improve. Include what you're seeing here on the slide, that little circles, the canary circles. I dig that. And kind of how it's going to be working. In short, it should be, the cadence should be faster.
I love these type of posts that we do. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to see how the sausage is being made and how actually you see going from, this is how, the internal testing we're doing with everything blue screening. And in fact, I'm running one of these builds on my machine and it blue screened right before this show. So it was fun actually seeing that and going through that. And it's fun seeing how we go from these daily builds of things being updated and bugs being fixed to going to more detailed audience, to having more wider audience and going out to the public. And it's amazing to see this for how these things work and see it in firsthand.
And especially just seeing how visible it is, just the dramatic difference between Windows 10 and the information coming out and the builds that we're getting and just the experience that early testers are getting versus the last release, versus Windows 8. It's not even night and day. It's like night and something very different.
Night and a fish. Anyway, moving on to the next one after that awesome introduction. So, introducing Universal CRT. I have no idea what this is, so I'm going to let you take this. What is Universal CRT?
What is a CRT? The CRT is the C runtime. And if you've ever installed like a game or a desktop application and you know you've had to install a dependency, the MVCRT, and you try to do the right version for 2005, 2008, 2012, getting all of those versions, basically they're refactoring that. The VC runtime that we've known in the past is being changed here to the universal runtime. One good thing is actually in Windows 10, it's going to come with it. So if you've got Windows 10 and you're building an app that utilizes the current version of the WinCRT, it's just going to work. The second thing is they're not going to be versioning the DLLs anymore. So even though you see it here on the screen, it's kind of, they got the version, they're changing the names. And essentially is if you're building those native apps for the Windows platform, the Visual C++ team has looked at that, looked at the past problems that we've run into in deploying the applications and trying to learn from that.
So how easy is to move from, let's say, using the CRT that's on Windows 8 today and moving an application was built for that onto the Universal CRT and then running that across the platforms, across the devices?
That's a good question. And, you know, to be brutally honest, you know, I'm a C# .NET framework kind of guy. I don't think I've C++ in a better part of a decade. The good thing about it is deployment is not going to change a lot. If you're already building these applications and you're deploying, let's say you're statically linking the libraries, that's not really going to change a lot for you. If you're deploying to Windows 10, like I already said, the DLLs will be there. If you're used to deploying the runtime environments as an MSU, you'll be able to do that as well. So it should make your life easier. I think that's the goal, and that's the takeaway on here, is that the team is listening, and they're trying to make things easier, both in the future and the next slide, you know, for today.
Yeah, so you don't have to build many times, but even when you're building now with this new slides that you're presenting, the build throughput and the PCH2, they're making things a lot faster, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime when you can get a build speed, we were joking about it in the pre-show, the XKCD thing, that I'm going to do a build and they're playing swords in the hallway and stuff. What are you guys doing? Well, we're doing
it's
a compelling.
Build. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, do it. I use that excuse all the time, even though I do C# and JavaScript, whatever. It's compiling.
Well, the C++, it's even worse, but this tool here that will help you. It's a free tool. It's available on the Visual Studio Gallery. You can pre-compile your headers, and that's like a 10 times improvement in your build throughput. So, if you're utilizing the, we're doing a build, and now I'm going to go have a drink or two, you don't want this tool.
This is going to make you more productive, though. You don't get those breaks anymore. So I don't know if this is good for productivity or bad for productivity. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, you may want to pretend that we haven't talked about that. You know, delete, backspace.
Okay, moving on. This next story that we have is about Visual Studio Team and one of the new features that they've added to the platform. And this is actually interesting the way this was added. This is a post by, and I'm sorry, Georgi Balassi.
Very good.
Yes, I try. This is a feature that was actually done by the community, that was invented by the community, done on User Voice. There was about 2,800 folks on User Voice that said, yes, I want this feature in Visual Studio. The Visual Studio team is going through these User Voice topics and looks at what they can implement, and they do it. And so this is interesting to see the insight of how we actually decide how to do features and how the community is helping to bring these features to Visual Studio.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, that's cool. I mean, it's one of those things when you look in hindsight, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, I've never actually thought about this. I've never actually had this problem. But now I look at it as like, damn, that makes life so much easier. It's great to have that user voice because you can go through all of them. It's like, yes, I want that. Yes, I want that. Yes, I want that kind of thing. Yeah. It's great. And you get your voice in there out there.
And you know what? Yeah, people, we've talked about this in past shows. How do you make an improvement? How do you suggest an improvement? Well, the user voice is definitely one place. And this is just a visual example. Another example of the team is actually listening to you. I find it amazing. I'm a VSALM MVP. And we have a great relationship with the Microsoft folks inside. And the amount of feedback that they request from us, from the MVPs, and from the community, and how they listen and make changes based on what we're saying is frankly quite amazing. You know, it's a great relationship. It's almost like if you're working in a line of business application and you have your users sitting next to you and they say, hey, Greg, can you do this? I say, okay, we'll do that. But this is, you know, with Microsoft and the Visual Studio and the ALM teams with all of us out here. And this slide is just one example of that. So
I agree. I work mostly with the operating system group of engineers, and I always hear this. I always hear how much they appreciate working with the community on this. And they always get these reports, and this is what the community wants. This is how they want it in this country. This is what they want in this country. And they're prioritizing features. And they're saying, this has helped us so much decide what should be in the next release and what should be moved to the later release. Maybe there's something that we were building, but that we saw that the community didn't want, so we removed it. So I hear this all the time throughout the company, mostly into the operating system groups where I work with.
Which is important for you guys watching and listening on here. You know, if you have a request, make it. Don't think that Microsoft is too big to listen or they're not going to listen. This is a new Microsoft. Even though the old Microsoft did it too, now the new Microsoft is very customer driven.
Now, if you're into learning more about different types of technologies, and I just learned actually about EDX, but EDX apparently has many different courses that anybody can go in. They can either audit the class and they can learn about different types of programming in C# or many different topics. And Microsoft partner up with EDX to provide many of these classes. And many of them start in March or April. So you can go in these, they last about 6 weeks. You can go in, it's about 3 to 5 hours a week that you go to these classes online. You learn about C#, there's TypeScript, there's SQL, there's all kinds of classes. And if you want to learn about these things, definitely do it. You don't have to pay for it if you just want to learn. If you want to get the credit, I think there's some fee that you need to do that, but you get the certificate that you can use across many different things. So I think this is a great, great way that to get the users learning about these different things.
Absolutely. And it's especially, you know, it's not just video on demand like we provide here on Channel 9 or the Microsoft Virtual Academy. These are actual college like, you know, instructor driven courses. So if that kind of structure helps you learn, like for the C# one, it's free. Just audit it like you would audit any other course. But this one is online, so you don't have to get up out of bed and do it,
So next topic, if you haven't seen the new announcements by Apple this week, there was announced that they talked more about the Apple Watch. And one of the cool announcements for me actually was made by Xamarin this time. And they actually announced that if you want to write for Apple Watch, they are going to support it. And they actually can use your favorite IDE. You can write application just like you do it for Windows, Windows Phone, iOS, Android. You can include Apple Watch in this. So it's amazing how quick they are into actually supporting all the new cool features and new platforms like this. You can use Visual Studio for this. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I actually just liked the title. Miguel came up with that good title. You know, like clockwork, they released the WatchKit support. And the fact that you can just, from within Visual Studio, file new watch app. That's crazy.
It's so fast, too.
Yeah. So, you know, while we're speaking of Xamarin, you know that they have the cross-platform user interface API, Xamarin Forms, which is a XAML-based forms development environment. Sync Fusion, like they do with a lot of different technologies, has released this ebook, Xamarin Forms Succinctly. It's about 100 pages or so. It's free. You just have to register, and you can download the PDF and the Mobi versions of the book free. And it talks about all the different features. You know, if you don't know what XAML is because you're coming from iOS or Android, they'll introduce that. But, you know, it's just a great example of the Microsoft ISVs stepping up and supporting not only another ISV, who Xamarin could be considered maybe a kind of sort of a competitor or co-competitor with Sync Fusion. But still, you know, they're providing this tool. And while you're on the Sync Fusion site, look at the other Succinctly ebooks. If you use Refactor, this is one I downloaded just this week. There's a Refactor Succinctly. There's WPF Succinctly. There's a ton of other Succinctly books.
So I wasn't aware about the Succinctly books, but this is actually super exciting for me because if you are a XAML developer, but you want to do cross-platform development, you use Xamarin so far, but you had to write all the UI in before Xamarin Forms. You have to write the UI in the Apple format, and you have to do it in the Android format. Now with Xamarin Forms, for the you can actually use XAML for all of it, and you can actually write UI all in XAML. And this looks like an amazing book to actually get started on that and going across platform, even with UI. It just makes story.
That's like crazy talk. You know, I'm going to write a XAML that runs on a Mac, that's not mono. You know, or it kind of is, but just that's crazy.
It's amazing. And Ajax, so a little blast from the past. but if you guys are not familiar with the Ajax control toolkit, which I wasn't until recently, they had a huge update about the way Ajax works with their toolkit and using it in ASP.NET applications. They have cool samples here. Jeffrey did a whole blog post on how to use the new features, how to write an application that does ratings for movies. It's very easy to use in your applications, right?
Yeah. And again, this is another example of an ISV stepping up. DevExpress took over active management of this toolkit as revving it. You know, you would think it would be dead, and, you know, a project that hasn't been updated in 15 months might be considered, you know, on life support. But DevExpress stepped up, they revved it, and, you know, it's still available out on CodePlex, and now we got this new release, so.
It's great. It's great when you see the folks actually stepping up and using, absolutely, managing these open source projects. Yeah.
This next story, Rob Miles. I don't know how many of you out there know of him. He's an instructor in the UK, and he does Connect stuff. He's been doing other development. He's been writing for forever. His C# Yellow Book is a must-have free PDF that you can download. And that is the textbook that he uses for his, speaking of training and education, that's the textbook that he uses. And he's provided it for free. The labs are available as well, so you can learn if you're more of an on-demand or just-in-time learner. His book is available. Recently, what he did is he converted it over to a Kindle format and tried to get it up on the Kindle. And he had major issues with that, with the code formatting. If you've ever tried to format the code to make it look good in a Mobi, in a Kindle book, it's not as easy as you might think. He shares not only how he did it, but the tool that he did it with, and that's the HTML Agility Pack. The HTML Agility Pack is another tool that if you're doing HTML parsing, you're grabbing a page and you want to get all the divs out. And I use this tool a lot when I'm building my personal apps that talk to the Channel 9 site. And he shows how he used that little tool to format his code and make it better and presentable. So it's kind of like a 3-for-1 deal that you get with this post.
I love this story because he talks about how he actually discovered this bug. He talks about how Amazon tries to sell him his book all the time. But he was, you know, he was reading through the reviews. He went and decided, okay, I'm going to go through the reviews. And people complained about how this is not working, how the code doesn't look right on iOS devices. And he thought he made it look right. And he went through it and he discovered that it doesn't really work. And he found this agility pack to get that fixed. But it shows how just by the voice from the users actually providing feedback to developers or providing feedback to whoever's doing creating things, they can just fix it.
So he had kind of like one of those developer things. Well, it compiled, so it must work.
Yeah, it works on my machine.
So what's happening next week?
So we're kicked out of the studios next week. We're going to have a .NET Conf all week. Well, not all week, next week, but March 18th and 19th. Being shot right here in this studio, I believe, live. Is that right?
Yes, it is live.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of cool folks coming out here talking about all the cool things they're doing with .NET and all the cool things that's happening with Microsoft, even before we talk about it at Build. This is going to be cool.
And as usual, if you can't catch it live, it'll all be available on Channel 9 on demand, yeah. 24, 48 hours, if not sooner after the fact.
We might be able to sneak in next week and shoot a video while they're shooting in front of them and kind of sneak into the glory. Hey, who are you? Oh, we're with this week on Channel 9. You're here to shoot .NET Conf.
Yeah, I'm trying to get on the short list for Build so we can do a This Week on Channel 9 there in San Francisco, but we'll see whether that works out or not.
Oh, we can do it. I'm going to bring out my phone. We can use my camera. We can do it. We don't need that camera.
It'll be a recording. Not sure what kind of recording, but it'll be a recording.
If you go back about 300 episodes and on this show, you can see how they actually did it back then. So if they can do it with webcams, we can do it with our phones now.
Well, yeah, that reminds me. Dan and Clint recorded one from the terminal, Long Beach Airport terminal, you know, just using a little camera, and they did like a 5-10 minute show. So, yeah, there you go.
You can do it. You know, wake up in the morning, you know, and just do it. Oh my God, this sticker. I'm going crazy for this sticker. Apparently, you can buy it now.
I bought 6 this morning.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to do it. So people have been going crazy about this sticker. It went on The Verge, it went on a bunch of different social networks. And what's there not to like? You get, what is it? It's a unicorn that shoots fire with a ninja cat? Is that a ninja cat?
Yeah, it's a ninja cat. It's a
ninja cat with a Windows flag, with Xbox, and it's a sticker for my laptop. I want to have this in real life.
There's no double rainbows.
There's no, not even a single rainbow, let alone double rainbow.
You know, but okay, fine. A ninja cat on a unicorn breathing fire. Okay, yeah, like I said, I got 6.
You're going to give me one, right?
Yeah, right away.
You mail it. I'll give you my address right after. It's 1 Microsoft Way.
So I think it's that time of the show. It's Picks of the Week.
Okay, what's yours?
My pick of the week is an oldie but a goodie that's alive and well again. .NET Kicks is a site that was earlier in the decade, was a nice, you know, good social news sharing site. It kind of went silent for a while, but recently it's come alive. And I don't know if many of you guys know up there, but I, you know, do a big part in picking the stories for This Week on Channel 9, Coding for Fun, a bunch of the other stories. .NET Kicks used to be the go-to site to get what's kind of new and exciting in the .NET development world. Got quiet. Now it's back alive and well. If you are looking for a snapshot of what's been happening, what's the exciting things going on in our world, you got to check out this site.
Awesome. I actually didn't know about this one. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it rocks.
Well, I like your pick of the week, but my pick of the week is much better than that. It's by Cortana, and everything you do with Cortana is so much better. So I really like this because this is an actual hack. This is not like a programming project somebody decided to do. This is an actual hack. So the way this works is what they're doing actually in this video, you should go on this link and watch the video. but they talk to Cortana as it's to control their home as if it's part of the operating system. So say, turn off the lights in my living room, turn on the lights in my bedroom. So they don't have to do any of the work that developers have to do now. But the way to do it is really, I like the way they do it. They actually set up a whole called Cortana proxy server in their house. And this, every time you're on your house, every time you try to talk to Cortana, it goes through this service. And if it's something that it recognizes and returns back the JSON for Cortana to say, and then the service, actually the proxy, actually does the action. So when they say, turn on my living room, right, it goes to the service, to the proxy turns on the lights and sends back to Cortana, okay, I turned on the lights. It's a very easy way, it's an awesome way to talk to your house through Cortana.
Is the source available for it?
This is all open source. Open source on GitHub. You can definitely go download it right now. Write your own commands for this and just use it. Put it one in your office, put one in your house, put one in your car. If you have Wi-Fi in your car and network, just use it everywhere.
It's car, awesome. Drive to work.
Yes, car.
Cortana, drive me to work.
So well, I think that's all we got for this week, right?
I think that's it. I think that's a show. You know, if you guys got comments out there, please leave the comments below or send us an email at twc9@microsoft.com. We all get the email, so please let us know if we're doing good, if we're doing bad, if there's other things you'd like to see or not see. If you don't like my mustache, just let us know.
Yeah, I should have commented about this mustache. I forgot. I was thinking about that. But on your point, we should have a user voice where people can actually put user voice for this show. We should do that.
That's kind of scary. Yeah. Or a Reddit. Or a subreddit for it, maybe.
We could. Or do an AMA. That wouldn't be popular. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining in. We'll see you not next week, probably, in 2 weeks from now. Bye.
Bye.